What's up, everyone? I'm Ben Amoa, and you're listening to the Oracle Podcast, where your stories matter. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Oracle. This is episode 21. I can't believe it is been 21 episodes. I think 21 episodes in 12 months. I guess that's kind of bad. I don't know. I'm okay with it because I've had a good year. And I've just been really happy just the amount of people I've met, the connections I've made, the networking I've done. And I'm just excited for the growth of it. And so I'm just going to keep doing this, and I hope that you guys keep listening. This episode, we have Alex Wilson, Alex Dion Wilson, pastor of Insta Live Church. You guys are going to hear more about that in this episode. I'm just honored. Me interviewing him was like a sort of a fanboy moment for me. And I'm just honored to have met him and just chopped it up. And he's just so real. And he's doing something new, and he's doing something unique. And him and his group are just innovating for the church. And their whole goal is bringing the church to the people. And so hope you guys really enjoy this interview and hope you're motivated and know that God has made you free. So stay tuned, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
What's up, guys? I'm Alex Dion Wilson, the social media preacher, and I'm a full-time Instagrammer, YouTuber, and also the pastor of a new project called Insta Church Live. It's the very first social media church, and so I'm excited to be here. Me and Ben met on Instagram DMs, which is like the main place to meet up now, and so I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much, Alex. Big shout out to Burn the Haystack podcast, because without them, I would have never heard about Alex. But I heard about him and I saw what he was doing. Like, he talked about Insta Life Church, and that fully motivated me, got me pumped. Just the wisdom you were saying in that podcast. If you guys have a chance to listen to that podcast as well, just so much wisdom there about just motivating and innovating in the church. Alex, if you want to just explain a little bit, what is Insta Life Church?
So it came out of the idea. I was watching a John Chris music video. My friend John Chris is a big comedian in the Christian community, and DJ Mike LV is one of the bigger DJs in the Christian hip hop community. And DJ Mike LV is a good friend of mine. So they made this song with No Big Deal, 1K Few. And the morning the video came out, I was watching it, sitting in my dad's church, about to film an Instagram live. And I just put my head down. I was like, God, like, I feel like I have friends who are in their lane, and I have friends who are doing what they're made to do. And I feel like I'm just not there yet. I feel like I'm close to it. And after I lifted my head up and walked away, God gave me this idea to put on a full church service on Instagram. And so I called my guy who's an audio technician and a tech guy for a church. And I called my friend who's a worship leader, Sambella. He's a worship leader, and he's from Congo, Africa. And he lives here in California. And then Tyler Moore, who's the audio technician, called both of them. And in like 30 minutes, they were driving to my church. Wow. Like, left work and started driving to my church. And they're like, this is a crazy good idea. So I was like, really? You think so? And they're like, yeah, like, this is amazing. And so it was just birthed from there. And it just kind of took off. Like, it's growing steadily. But we've been doing it 2.5 months. We're at over 1,000 followers. And the response is like, people are like, I don't have time to go to church. I've been burned by the church. I work on Sundays. My parents won't let me go to church. Like, the response is crazy, the different types of individuals who are buying into this. And it basically has everything a church service has, but it's kind of, it has everything a church service has, but it has the feel of a youth group. Mm. So it has worship, message, announcements, worship, whatever. But it's very interactive because it's Instagram. And so we start off with a game, and it's a game that you can play through the phone, and it's just fun, interactive, right? People are laughing. Then we jump into like an upbeat song, and then I preach for like 45 minutes at the most. And then we end with like some type of like conclusion and prayer and worship. But yeah, it's really interactive. Our worship guy is amazing, but it's super fun. It's crazy when you think about the potential of what it could be. That's when it gets crazy.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. Like,
'cause I mean, think about where can Kanye West go to church? Where? You can't go to church without people, someone asking for a selfie.
Yeah. He'll be just so much stardom. You'll be hunted down. Yeah.
And that's probably why he did his little Sunday service thing, or what he's doing with Kim and everybody. They have to make their own church because they can't have a church experience because they're too big. Well, Insta Church Live, they can make a fake profile called, he can call himself Benjamin if he wanted to, and jump in there. No one's going to know who he is. He's just another profile that's watching the service and, you know, commenting and connecting.
Mm-hmm. And does that, and like, I think, like, it's super innovative, and I think I really like how it's very straight to the point. I've tuned in a few times now, and, you know, I personally, I mean, this might sound rough on my behalf, but I think, like, our traditional church service of, like, the 2-hour, you know, I mean, I don't think, I don't know how effective that is today in 2019.
It's not. It's, when you don't respect people's time, people won't respect you. And that's what's happening with the younger generation, my age, your age, Ben. People are like, I don't want to go to church because I feel like they don't respect my time. They spend in 45 minutes singing a song that's like way too long. You know, they talk about all these different announcements. The pastor's on stage telling jokes like, is this a comedy show or is this, am I supposed to get something out of this that encourages me to go out in the world and be the church? Mm-hmm. And so a 10-minute service, we found out, it gives you exactly what you need to go out and to be the church. Because we're not trying to take the place of community, but I think good internet community always leads to good physical community. So if you're a part of a really bad internet community, it's going to isolate you. So if all I'm watching is porn and like roast videos, people just talking about other people, just like negative stuff, what's going to happen is my house is going to get darker and darker and darker. I'm going to lose friends. I'm going to get unhealthy. I'm going to be sitting in front of my computer all day, because bad community on the internet always leads to bad physical community. But the opposite is true too. Like if I'm watching podcasts like yours, attending Insta Church, like consuming good stuff, like Burn the Haystack, good stuff on the internet, what it's going to naturally make me do is like, I got to get up and like go do something, like meet people and connect, because I just feel like it's just going to make you even more healthy.
That's right. That's right. No, and I talked about that to my kids all the time, right? They're always talking to me like, I like rap music and stuff, right? Yeah. And I tell them, I'm like, you know, but like, you have to realize, like, I guess the danger of it is if that's the only thing you're consuming, it affects what comes out of your mouth, right? And so what you just spend your time doing, if you're only listening, like you're saying, roast videos, these IG videos, these pornography, all these things are filling your mind, right? And so that's why I think things like podcasts, things like social media, as Christians, God needs us to like infest that area so that we can fill people's minds that way. Because that's where we spend our time, right? On screens.
I love that word, infest, man. That's how he's supposed to be. Just take it over.
Just a quick question. I want to hear more about you, but I just have one last question about the Insta Church Live. Like, when you started
ask as many as you want.
All right. And when you started that, though, because it's so different, was there a lot of, I guess, negative feedback against, people running traditional churches? Like, did they think you were trying to, like, take over? How was the feedback?
Yeah, the feedback has not been great from head pastors. We've had a lot of ghost followers. So, for example, when we started, we would get views. When we first started, some of the videos we posted, including the live videos, would get, like, 5 times the views of the amount of followers we had. Wow. So that tells you right there, there's people from other accounts that are, you know, watching and like, you know, kind of behind the scenes, like ghosting us, but not liking, not following, not like showing any love. A lot of guys didn't think we could do it and pull it off. A lot of people didn't expect how professional it would be. Like, once you turn on the audio, the lighting, everything's professional. The only thing that's not professional, with air quotes, is like the resolution, because the Instagram live video is like 720p. Yeah, it was pretty low resolution. You have, I mean, there's other programs out there that you can live stream through. But we like shooting on the phone. It's fun. It makes like it real feels real personal. But yeah, a lot of pastors see this as a threat. They think, what good is my Sunday morning service if all my young people are doing this now? Hmm. So it could be a threat, but I don't think it's for everyone. I think it's for a lot of people. I think it has potential to be the biggest church in the world. If that's God's plan, if that's God willing, we don't want to be the biggest church in the world. We just want to really bring church to people. We feel like the people have been like ostracized by the church. And so our mission is to bring church to them and in the simplest way as possible. So no shade to Life Church, because Life Church is an amazing church and they're doing a lot of stuff. Craig Rochelle is like super inspiring, but young people, just speaking from a young person standpoint, I don't want to go to another website. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go search Google, yada, yada, yada. Like I'm on Instagram. That's the website I'm on most of the time. If it could just come to me, that'd be great. But people are lazy. Like even trying to get people to go to the link in your bio on Instagram, people are like, or even swipe up. Swipe up's a little easier, but it's like, I don't really want to swipe up because it's going to like take me out of the app. People are so lazy now, especially young people. Mm. And so only way, it's just good marketing. If you want to market yourself well, whatever you're doing, you have to bring your product nearly all the way to people. You have to put it basically on their plate in front of them, you know, give them their napkin and their fork and say, start eating. Like it has to be spelled out to them. So with Jesus, it's no different. We have to bring, and Jesus did this all the time. He was always eating with people, always in their house, at their table, at their feet. He was always finding new ways to bring the gospel to people and not make people work to how to get the gospel. Where nowadays, because everything is brought to you on the phone, you can order pizza, come straight to your house. Amazon comes straight to your house. Nearly everything comes straight to your house. And now including the gospel with like live videos and stuff. But I just feel like a lot of young people, especially high school kids, they just won't go to a church website to watch a church service. They just won't. Hmm. But if it's on YouTube and if it's on Instagram, like we have this idea, there's another secret page out there called YouTube Church Live. And we haven't promoted it at all. I've only talked about it on the Burn the Haystack podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
But we put the same exact thing, but on YouTube.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how's that?
It'll basically look exactly like InstaChurch, but it'll essentially be like small group curriculum. So if you are a small group leader, or I know you already pastor mm-hmm. people, you want to have a bunch of people over your house, turn on YouTube. We would put on like a 20 to 30 minute service for you with games, worship, a message, like small group questions, and it's all there as a live service.
That's fire.
Yeah, so that's the next project.
I like that. You said something that really caught my attention, and it's the bringing things to people. And I think like when I think about it, when I kind of just reflect on you saying that, it's just like, man, like we've kind of had a weird how we wait to present the gospel when people are in the pews.
Wow.
And it's like,
wow.
I think we're doing an injustice.
Wow.
If we believe what we have is truth, you know, if we're just waiting for one day till people come into my building before I share with them God.
Right.
But I like that Instagram, InstaChurch Live is like, you're at home. You can be sitting at home. You could be driving. Right. You know, obviously you don't want to be on your phone driving, but you can be, you know, in a restaurant. You can be at McDonald's, whatever. You can open your phone and the gospel's right there.
Right.
That's powerful.
It's heavy, man. Because, I mean, even last night, what it looks like is like me and my wife, everyone left. My whole team left. I have about 7 guys on the team, guys and girls. And we like the service. So we want to watch the service too. So we turn on the service. We're both there eating like baked potatoes. And the phone is propped up right in between both of us. And we're just watching it together and like singing along with it. And it doesn't feel silly at all. It feels like very, very natural. But yeah, what you're doing, you're bringing church to people by this podcast. Lecrae is doing it through music. Like a lot of creators are doing it with InstaChurch. We just want to like be a hub for people to send in prayer requests, people to, you know, comment, connect with people. What's cool is last night, we had people join, and my mom was watching the service, and she was like talking to her friends on the service, like as her friends joined up. It's like, oh, hey, girl, like, talking to everybody. And I thought that was cool because it feels like church. You know, it feels like we're all here together. We're building something together. And honestly, anyone who's a part of Insta Church, you, anyone who follows that page, we're all making history. And we are a church because we are the church. Like, I'm a part of the church. You're a part of the church. Regardless of what Sunday you have church on, regardless of denomination, we're all part of the Big C Church. And everyone who's a part of Insta Church, we're doing that together. It's not just me and my team doing it. It's everyone. Like, it feels like the church is behind it.
Wow.
It's fun, man. It's super fun.
No, I'm excited. And I look forward to the continual growth, man. I love it. I love it. All right, Alex, I want to hear about your gospel. I want to hear about your experience. When I asked you, that's why I asked you, like, you know, what theme have you experienced in your walk with God? Like, what have you experienced? And you mentioned to me freedom from sin and freedom to be yourself. What are you talking about? Where did that start?
So I grew up in church. My dad used to work for Billy Graham. And so I've had basically like every church experience out there. I've been to like hundreds of churches, bunches of different denominations. I've probably gone through VBS, Vacation Bible School, with like seven different denominations, and they're all fun. But I just didn't, I never really believed in it. I thought Jesus was like more like a superhero, in that he like kind of flew down to earth, took care of some business, beat the bad guys, and flew back. Wow. I didn't realize it was hard for him. I didn't realize the cross was hard. And once I read the Gospel of Mark for myself, I was like, oh man, the cross was really hard for Jesus to do. Like, it was the hardest thing any human's gonna have to go through. And he did that for me, and he knows exactly who I am and what I've done. And so once I realized that, it like crushed me, dude. I was like, man, like, I am so responsible to this guy. Like, he just deserves the best. And the process of me realizing that is what freed me, in that like my friends and family saw an immediate change in me. I was like always introverted and really like mean, like a really, really mean guy. People never believe that when I say that, because I'm always smiling and stuff on Instagram, but I was really like rotten, like really, really mean. And when people saw that change, they were like, man, you seem so confident now. You seem so different now. And even my walk with Christ over the past like 7 or 8 years I've been a Christian, it's been like a rough road of me like feeling like going back to the old things and then coming back, realizing my freedom in Christ. And so, yeah, it's been a long process, but it was that moment where I read about him in the garden when Jesus is like, if there's any other way, you know, take this cup of suffering from me, not my will, your will be done. When I read that, Mark 14:36 is when it just like really hit home.
Wow. So what does it mean to be like free? Like, what does that mean for you?
I think freedom isn't about like having no limitations. I think freedom is about like living with the right limitations. Mm-hmm. So I'm not free because I can do whatever I want. That's not freedom. I think freedom is like having the freedom to choose what is right and what is wrong. Because if I'm a type of person, well, yeah, I can go do whatever. I can go, you know, I can do literally whatever. I could cheat on my wife. I can, you know, do drugs. I could party. I could club hop. Like, I can do whatever I want. I can, like, you know, if that's the world's idea of freedom, that's not freedom. Because if I go do those things, I'm going to be in debt. I'm going to be a slave to broken relationships. I'm going to be unhealthy. I'm going to be hungover. I'm going to be addicted. So that honestly can't be freedom. Being able to do whatever you want, that cannot be freedom. What freedom is being able to do the right things. And I think when you become a Christian, now all of a sudden, because you're free from sin, you're free to do what's right. And being free to do what's right is what makes you free. So if I had like a dog and I always had him on a leash, he'd be miserable. But if I had if I put him through the right training and he does all the training and we go to a beach and I take him off the leash, he's as free as his little heart can take. And I know, and he knows, he's not gonna run away. He's not gonna jump to the ocean. He's not gonna jump into the front of the car or something, but he's completely free. And it's because he has this training, he has this limitation. And I think when you become a Christian, you get that. Like the Holy Spirit puts this training in you day one, and you're like, okay, now I know how to really be free and how to really experience the best type of life.
Wow.
And before, I just couldn't do that, dude. I was doing everything.
What is it though that even though like you don't have to go into detail of the things you did, but like knowing that you said your dad was a pastor?
Yeah.
Your dad is a pastor. And even though you were raised in the church, going to VBSs, hearing about God, what is it that allowed you to still do those things? What was it for you?
I felt like I was a different person at church. Mm-hmm. Or no, I felt like everyone else was a different person at church. Like I felt like I couldn't bring my friends I went to high school with and played football with and sports with. I felt like if I brought them to church, they would be like, this is weird. Like this is otherworldly. And I thought about like any God that feels that like separate from his creation can't be a good God. It wasn't about all the bad stuff happening in the world. I've always been like bad stuff just happens because people are crazy. But I just felt like if God made us and God loves us and he wants us to live a certain type of life, why does that life seem so alien to the world we live in right now? And that bothered me. I was like, man, I can't. I'm the type of person where if I really love something and I enjoy something, I'm going to tell people about it. Like, I'll go tell people about this podcast. I'm like, yeah, this guy, Ben, he's humble. He's cool. Like, a lot of podcasters aren't cool. This guy's cool. I'll feel like I can go talk about this because I'm like, I like this guy. I like something about this. But if I don't like something, everyone's like this. I don't want to talk about it. And I felt like with God, because I didn't understand him and I didn't think that, like, because I saw a view of him in church culture that wasn't right, that's when I was like, I don't know, man. I can't really share this guy. I can't really be a part of this because this is so lame to me. Mm. And it's because a lot of the churches I had to go to, I had to put on a suit, I had to put on a tie, I had to shine my shoes, mm-hmm. I had to act a certain way, I had to be a certain way when I walked in the building. And I'm like, dude, like, why do I wear tennis shoes to school, but I can't wear tennis shoes to church? Mm. It sent me a really bad message, dude.
Mm.
Like God lives in another world. And if I want to be a part of his family, I have to go to his world, which is anti-gospel. Jesus came, incarnational ministry is what he did. He came here. Mm. Like he came into our neighborhood to reach us.
Yo, that's crazy that you said that. Cause like, man, I remember when I was younger, I wanted to bring some of my boys to church so bad. Right.
Yeah.
And I remember the feeling. Like I'm so thankful they still came to visit sometimes. But I remember that feeling when I was like, yeah, guys, come. They're like, okay, when? I'm like, yeah, come this Saturday. I was like, oh, man, but do you guys have dress clothes? it's so tough. Why did I say that? Like, you know, I'm like, man, but why is that? That's the only way. I can't tell them to come through. Yeah, I can't.
Right.
Yeah, oh, man.
Can you imagine Jesus doing that?
Yikes.
Dude, he's sitting at the table. People are like, you're a glutton, you're a drunkard, because he's always eating and drinking with these sinners. Mm. And can you imagine that he like told Matthew, like, hey, Matthew, like, I'm going to invite some people over to your house, but before they come over, could you just tell everyone to put on a robe? Mm. No, dude.
Man, that's
Jesus crazy. Doesn't care about that.
Mm-hmm.
He cares about people's heart, bro. Freaking 5,000 years ago, we're all naked. And now we try to cover up, like, now we try to cover up our sin and everything by wearing these nice clothes or whatever, like, but we didn't even have clothes to begin with. Clothes, I'm not saying we should all go around naked, but the idea of clothes came out of sin.
That's facts.
And hiding.
Mm-hmm.
So now, how twisted is it that the devil has convinced church people to think they have to be a certain way or look a certain way before they go to church?
Mm-hmm.
People are already hiding before they get to church.
Mercy.
Crazy.
Wow, that's crazy.
Crazy, man.
That's crazy. Is it that, do you think, like, you know, because I remember I just went home last week to go visit my mom. And and my mom, very, very old-fashioned, conservative, immigrant woman from Ghana. And, you know, the way she does things is very different than the way, and the way she tried to raise me is very different than where I am now. Right. Even though I value everything she's taught me. But,
right.
You know, just like, I try to talk to her about like stuff that the conservative views that she has and such. And it's like, where's the line? Because like, I guess they're always scared of crossing a line, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess they're like, we have to be peculiar, or Christians have to be, God wants us to be a certain way, you know? And
right.
Even for something like Insta Live Church, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure people will probably tell you, like, you're just being like the world or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And it's like, is there a line that Christians should follow, or where is it? Like, where is it?
Yeah, there's definitely a line. There's definitely a gray area that I think we're called to live in. It's right in between the black and the white. I think we're meant to be black and white on some stuff, like the death, the resurrection. Like, there's black and white stuff, but there's a gray area of stuff that I think we need to fall into in order to live righteously. So an example of that would be with abortion. Abortion's murder. It's absolutely a sin to kill someone. But the problem is, when we handle an idea like abortion, and we did a service on this on Insta Church Live, mm-hmm. Jesus says that if you get angry with someone, you're murdering. So let's start there. And I think that's the gray area that we have to start in. Like, we can't just picket signs and be like, hey, it's murder. We have to understand that, hey, have you ever been angry with someone? If the answer is yes, you're in the same boat as her. And once you start there, then you can maybe help understand her situation. But it starts with recognizing, like, wait, what's the real problem here? It's that we're all murderers. You know, and I think starting there is what breaks down the conversation. And so with these type of topics, dress code and church service, online church, even with that, I think it's kind of gray and it's kind of black and white. So when it came to church and people, Jesus was not gray. He was very black or white. Mm-hmm. He would walk up in a church and flip tables if he realized that what they were doing was hurting people. He didn't care. The way he talked to Pharisees was way different from the way he talked to other people. With Pharisees, he was harsh, bro. He was like, your father's the devil, you're from Satan, you're falling in line with Satan. Like, the stuff he's saying to him, I would never say that type of stuff to any church person I know. Like, I would go to a pastor and be like, hey man, just because you make everyone wear suits and dresses, your father's the devil. Yeah. Like, I would never say that. But Jesus talked like that.
Yeah,
he did like that. Because when it came to church, because this is his wife we're talking about. When it came to church, he was not gray. He was very black and white. He would straight up be like, this is wrong. This is not cool. What you're doing is hurting people. You're upping the tax on these people because they have to walk so far to come to the temple. You don't let them in to the main sanctuary. You make them go worship outside in the outer gates and stuff. Like, what you're doing is wrong. And he starts flipping tables. And I think Jesus always said, following him is going to come between you and your mom, you and your dad, you and your best friends. He even says that when I come back, one of your friends is going to be in the field and the other friend's going to be up in heaven with me. So when it comes to church, Jesus is all about doing what is best for the people and whatever gives God the most glory. That's the only thing that's on his mind, because the church of God is his bride. And for me, if anyone talks bad about my wife, or, you know, comes sideways at my wife, be like, oh, let's try to figure this out. Like, let's be a gray area. No, dude, I'm like, I'm going to protect my wife and I'm going to do what's best for my wife. Imagine if some guy slaps my wife's butt walking down the street and I'm like, hey man, let's just talk this out. Like, no, he hurt my wife physically and mentally and emotionally right there. It's not a black and white moment.
Yeah.
And if anyone hurts the bride of Christ, Jesus wants us to step in and handle it. Not in a violent way or whatever. That's where this analogy breaks down. But he wants us to handle it. And when I see what you're doing with podcasts, you're handling it. When I see what I'm doing with Insta Church Live, I'm handling it. So I'm like, who's made a social media church? No one. Who's talking about, you know, our own gospel? Like, who's doing that? No one. So if Ben's got to be the guy to do it, then he better do it. If no one's talking about how we make people wear certain types of clothes, then we got to talk about it. Mm. That's the whole thing, like the preachers and sneakers thing, is no one was talking about these pastors and their $3,500 shoes. And so some guy was like, look, I have a responsibility to talk about this.
Wow.
That's handling it, bro. Because this is Jesus's wife we're talking about.
That's
He's not going to disrespect, bro.
Man, yeah. I think we don't try to take ownership over the bride is not enough.
Right.
Yeah, we don't try to take ownership that, like, I need to do something about it. Because I love that analogy you said, like, if something happened to your wife, like, we would be moved. Like, if something happened to my fiance, right. I'd be angry. Yeah. I would want to make sure something is done.
But you and your fiance are beautiful, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, man.
I'll stalk you, man.
Thank you. She's beautiful. She is beautiful. Yeah. You know, it's like this crazy thing. I'm like, but I realize sometimes, and I think it's like a sad, this sometimes saddens me, is that people are always looking for someone else to do
right.
So people are always looking for someone else to do it. But I think once we take that responsibility, I think the church would grow so much more. And then we would be way more innovative and accepting and progressive, because we know, like, we have to handle some things in 2019 that didn't exist in 1990.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
how we progress.
Yeah, I think you're so right. Because we are the most creative people on the planet. We have new life. Everyone else is dead. We have new life. Like, we're really alive. And our creator is a creator, and he made us to create. And so whether you're creating your Joanna Gaines down in Texas, and you're creating a new style for homes, interior designing, whether you're a podcast creator, whether you're a video creator, whether you're a pastor, whatever, you're creating something. Mm-hmm. And I think I said this on Burn the Haystack. We're not meant to change culture, and we're not meant to copy culture. We're meant to create culture. And I think a lot of people, like Christians, like, yeah, we want to change culture and change culture and change culture. No, it's not our job to change culture. The reason with culture is you actually can't change culture. How something becomes cultural is because it becomes a pillar in the culture, and that's how it becomes cultural. So Migos, for example, they became a cultural pillar where everyone is doing ad libs. Everyone's doing in rap music, the skrrr, and all that stuff. Like, that became a cultural pillar that will never be moved. And it's just, it's always going to, there's going to be a season of time 20 years from now where that was the culture at the time. And they built that. And I don't think we can't come in and change that. If I come in and say skrrat, I didn't change it. I'm on the same wavelength as them. I'm just copying culture. So I think the only thing you can really do when it comes to culture is copy it or create it. Mm. And as Christians, I think we are so easy to fall into, like, copying culture. And let's make another Christian meme page. Let's, you know, let's make another, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not changing anything. We're copying it. That's my whole thing with, like, the Enneagram thing, bro. It's like, okay, yeah, it's cool to understand who we are a little bit better. But in some ways, Enneagram has been around for decades. Christians just took it and copied horoscope, and now it is what it is now. And I'm not saying Enneagram's from the devil. I'm just saying, as Christians, we're called to create something new, something different. I think that's what John Chris did. Because nobody was talking about the church the way that he was talking about the church. And that's different. I think Lecrae created culture. Yeah, there was Christians before him, but it wasn't being done the way he's doing it.
Yeah,
he's Reach Records. They have their own label. Like, they created a culture.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, God, when he created the world, like, he gave us that example of creation. And I think, like, that's what we're called to do. Create.
Yeah.
Wow. Going back to just a little bit about you, In the time where you were, like, you know, you kind of felt like church was just not a place that was alien to you.
Yeah.
You know? What was it that helped you realize that it, what, like, that made you want to take it back?
It started when I started going to a program called Young Life. They are a youth. They've been around since like the 40s, I believe, but they're a youth ministry. And I was in my, I went to middle school and high school in the South. I finished high school in California, but I went to this giant school. It's 4,000 students at my high school and at my middle school, 4,000 each. And I was sitting in the cafeteria and this 30-year-old white guy comes, sits down and starts talking to me. And I was like, well, he had t-shirt on and flip-flops and jeans and brown hair. And I was like, who is this guy? He's really tall. He starts talking to, not me, he's talking to my friends. And we're all like potheads, like football players type kids. And I'm like, who is this guy? Like, how do you guys know this weird white guy? And all my friends were white, but I just thought it was weird that this 30-year-old guy was just like in the lunchroom with a volunteer sticker on, just talking to us. And they're like, oh, it's Jason. I'm like, who's Jason? He's like, oh, it's, they were like, it's Jason, like from Young Life. And I was like, okay, what the heck are you guys talking about? So they invited me to this thing on Tuesday nights, started at 7:27. And I walked in and somebody has like put a balloon in my hand. There's loud music, lights, shaving cream everywhere. And I was like, this is crazy. And for the next hour, it was like a roller coaster of fun and then crazy music. Instead of worship songs, they sang like Justin Bieber. And I was like, what is going on? And then he preached at the end. And I was like, what the heck is this, what Christianity is? And then it wasn't until I was a freshman in college and started reading the word to myself that it really changed me. Mm-hmm. But that's when the taste for reaching people with the gospel and bringing church to people started. Because who I was, the Christians I saw at Young Life were different from the Christians I saw at church. It seemed like the Christians at Young Life were really being themselves and they were more free. You know, there was stuff they didn't do, but it seemed like there was nothing they wouldn't do to get me to understand the gospel. And that's when I was like, dang, this is like, I was intrigued. So much so that I worked for Young Life for a long time. I went to like almost every camp in America that they have. I was a sold out Young Life kid. I was still on, like still doing drugs, still messing around, but the Lord just like totally wooed me with that, dude. And I, just an encouragement to all the youth pastors out there who are listening, you think just because your kids are still smoking and still having sex that they're not listening to you? They are for sure listening. I was a youth pastor for 7 years, and I went to every type of youth group you can think of. These kids are listening. Yeah. If you love them and tell them the truth, they may act like they're not listening, but what you're doing is really going to stick with them. And not every one of them is going to flip to Christianity. But a lot of them will. It might just be later.
And then, like, what made you stop doing those things?
I think what made me stop was, I think every time it seems like my own, every time it seems like my own brokenness. It seems like, okay, the Lord opened my eyes. A lot of the stuff, after He opened my eyes, I would keep doing. And I think what made me stop was realizing two things. One, I am too sinful to be able to handle this on my own. I have to surrender. And I think surrendering looks like I'm going to take God's word more seriously. That's really what surrender is. Like people say, I surrender. But they go to their work week. They don't touch the Bible at all that week. I'm like, this is how you fight. This is your sword. You're not going to like, yeah, it's just stupid. Like, you got to get in the word. And so those times for me when I'm like, man, I really messed up, I got to surrender, it means coming back to the word of God. And I think what's been helping me lately is realizing how real the devil is. Like, this dude does not want us to win. And he hates us. And I think a lot of times we're like, oh, it's just my flesh. And sometimes it is, or it's just the world we live in. But Satan is like, he's like a master puppeteer behind all that crap. Like, he knows exactly what he's doing. And because I tell people this, Satan is a behavioral psychologist. He knows people. He's been studying people since the garden. And he knows us. He knows if we say one thing, he knows a trail of events that's going to happen after that. And so he sets up his darts. He sets up, you know, spiritual warfare in such a way that he's coming at us big time. He's not more powerful than God. God can handle him in a second. We saw him handle him on the cross. But dude is powerful and dude is sneaky and dude is very deceptive. And so lately I've been thinking, like, okay, if I do binge all this Netflix right now, how's that going to affect InstaChurch this week? And if I do stay up late every night this week, how's that going to affect one of my videos? And it sucks, dude. I don't want to think that way. I want to be able to do whatever I want and, you know, watch as much Netflix as I want. But not only affects my ministry, it affects my family. So if I stay up late till 2 a.m. watching Netflix, what's going to happen when my three boys wake up at 6 a.m.? And I'm exhausted. I can't get out of bed. Now our whole day is ruined. So, but that's the devil's plan, dude. The main thing is comfort. Comfort. He's lulling us all to sleep with comfort, which is why the Bible says, stay sober-minded, stay alert. Mm-hmm. Because he's putting us all to sleep by comfort.
Wow.
It's crazy, man. So it was the more I realized how real the devil is really trying to like mess up my future, the more it keeps me active. Where I see something on Instagram and I like just scroll past. I'm like, nope, not today. Or yeah, if it means going to bed early, stuff like that. I'm not the best at it, but I've gotten better at making decisions where I don't give the devil an opportunity to put me to sleep. That's what he really wants to do, is just put me to sleep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I think you touched something very powerful there, because when we can zoom out, you know, when we can zoom out and see the responsibilities that God has given us, family, things that we've created, etc., like that, it gives us at least a little bit of an upper hand to combat it, because we know that, right, like, I'm called for something greater. I can't just fall to Netflix binging 10 seasons. I can't, because I'm responsible for something.
Right. Right, man. And it's the people who think like that that end up making it. You know? They just are. Almost every celebrity, they'll tell you, I've always wanted to do this. You know? And it's because they think like that. Like, and it's not about being a celebrity. It's not about, like, fame. But anyone who's ever done anything big, how it happened is they believed in it. No, and something huge doesn't just fall. We think because stuff goes viral now that stuff just falls into your lap. But that's not true. Even the girl, Catch Me Outside. You know that girl?
Yeah.
Catch Me Outside. She went viral, but she's been putting on that act for over a decade. She has fully committed to that character. And when she was in the right limelight, her character went viral. But it wasn't like nothing happened. And like, it, I mean, she didn't work towards that at all. And it just happened overnight. No, dude, she's been trying to put on this black girl act her whole life. She's convinced herself to live in that. And it finally paid off for her. I don't know what type of fruit she's going to have for her life. But the point I'm trying to make is like, if Ben thinks I'm going to be a major radio host, I'm going to be a major podcaster, I'm going to be a major creator in the Christian sphere. If you think like that and you know the devil doesn't want you to have that, and you think like that every day, it's going to happen. The difference between guys who don't end up living their dream and the people who do is they give up on it. And that's exactly the devil's plan, is to make you give up on it. That's exactly what he wants to do, dude. The devil's intention is to steal what God has intended for you. That's his intention. When he, in the garden, that's exactly what he did. The serpent is sitting back watching Adam and Eve, like, dang, they got that. Dang, they have a relationship with God. Dang, they can like just be naked. Dang, they have that much power. They can call the animals. Like, they can do all that stuff. I need to take that from him. I need to take that from her. And that's what the thief comes to do. He comes to steal what God had intended for us.
I was about to say, yeah. That's what calls him a thief. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Just in closing, if you could tell something to somebody who is struggling to recognize, I guess, their own freedom in God.
Yeah.
What would you tell them?
Oh, I would tell them that God has made something specifically for them. I think that God has a specific purpose for you. And I don't think anyone else can do that thing but you. I really believe that. I don't know anyone else that could be Billy Graham. I don't know anyone else that could do what he did, or I don't know anyone else that could do what Lecrae is doing. It just, when you see someone that's creative and loves God and you see what they're doing, there can only be one Kirk Franklin. There just can. And I really believe whoever's listening to this right now, God has something for you that's made for you. And it's when you take yourself out of the spotlight and start putting other people in that spotlight and asking God, God, how can I use my gifts to help people? How can I put people first? Put people first. How can I do that? God, how can I give you glory at the same time? You make that your heart's prayer and your life's mission. God will reveal to you what your purpose is. And it's, you'll be surprised how tailor-made it is for you. It's just, it's Daniel, bro. No one else could do what Daniel did with the dream interpretation thing. And by the way, that was a very worldly thing. Dream interpretation was not Jewish. So he took a worldly, secular practice and made it Christian and changed the world, changed Babylon, changed the culture, literally changed the trajectory of the whole entire world by doing that. And no one else could do that but Daniel. No one else was going to split the Red Sea. Moses was the right guy for the job. And that's why God chose him. No one else could do what Jesus did. And I really believe God has, with God's children, he has a specific purpose for every single one of us. Our object of where we're going to really experience life is whether or not we get in line and obey and submit to him to be able to accomplish that purpose.
All right, that's it for another episode of The Oracle. Big shout outs to Alex Dion Wilson. Thanks again for your time, and thank you for your vulnerability and sharing your story. Go follow him on Instagram, Alex D. Wilson, and also his church, Insta Live Church, just to check out the innovation and the energy that they have there, the creativity that's there. It just inspires me. All right. If you have any suggestions or any reviews or any comments, please comment on the Oracle page. Please message us if you have any questions or any suggestions. Just contact us. Let us know some feedback about the podcast, and we just want to keep growing and keep giving you guys people's stories, and we just want people to be able to share constantly on this podcast. So thanks for tuning in. Go handle something, go figure out what your purpose is, and just ask God to help you develop that thing. Stay blessed.